Father, we come today, we come truly thankful for all of your blessings in all of the areas of life. And we thank you that you actually ask so little of us in return. You want a heart that is yielded to you. You want us to honor you in all the areas of our lives, including the things that you have blessed us with. And Lord, you are just faithful. And so today we come to offer you thanks. We come to offer you praise. And we do, as we come, Lord, sometimes to evaluate ourselves in different areas. So we come today to evaluate ourselves in an area, because the more obedient we are, then the more we're going to experience your blessing in the days ahead. So we pray today, take your word, reinforce to us today the blessings that are in store for those who will honor you with the things you have blessed them with, and what a blessing those things will be as they are then converted into ministry, both here in our community and abroad. Take now your word, Lord, and may we each apply the portion you have apportioned to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We usually speak on this topic of giving about once a year. I know some places it's a lot more than that or whatever, but it is certainly, it's not the only thing, it's not the most important thing, but it is certainly an important part of the Christian life. And so we do want to address this from time to time. And as you look back over this past year, can you say that God has blessed you? I mean, I can surely say God has blessed us in many, many ways. And if you've been, a couple of our families were in another part of the world, just south of us this year. And so you get to see just how little some people have. And yet these people are joyful in the Lord and are serving the Lord and are giving to the Lord. And when we see that type of thing, we have to say to ourselves, you know, if they can do this in the situation they're in, certainly we can do it in the situation that we are in. We are blessed above, well, really, all the people on earth. And God has blessed us so that we can give. And that is why God blesses us, really. It's so that we can take that and convert it into blessing on others, both here at home, the things that we do to help the needy and so forth, and then also to extend the gospel. Think of the blessing that has come to the Taliabu and to people in the Philippines and to people in Europe and different places just because of the generosity of God's people. And we can just, you know, kind of get complacent and kind of start taking things for granted. But in reality, that this practice of obedience in this particular area is an area that will yield a lot of fruit at a lot of levels. And so we want to take a look at it again today. And I guess it really comes down to the individual question is for each of us individually. Am I being obedient in this area? Am I being as obedient in this area as I should be? And even if I am being obedient to the point of fulfilling whatever you want to call them, the basics or the technicalities, do I really have a generous and giving heart and an attitude? And has the Lord blessed me in such a way that perhaps I could do even more than I'm doing and bless more people and see the kingdom expand even more? So today we are going to be talking primarily about the tithe. Now, I know that in some circles this would kind of be a controversial thing. Some want to maintain that in the New Testament it never says we have to tithe, and that, you know, under New Testament, you know, we're not under the law anymore. Well, that's true. We're not under the law anymore. But I just have one answer for that one, and I'll get that one out of the way right up front. The blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ under grace so far surpass anything that the people of the Old Testament knew, that if I want to say that I'm not under the law and I don't have to tithe anymore, as long as I am giving the Lord more than the tithe, then fine. But if I am giving to the Lord under grace less than those who were under the law gave, then shame, 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 shame. Because that is hypocrisy, that is ingratitude, that is unfaithfulness, that is duplicity, and God will not bless it. So now you know how your minister feels on that particular topic. But having said those things, let us just go and let's take a little look again at the tithe. Now, we know about the tithe. It was 10%. And we know that under the law of Moses, excuse me while I get rid of something off of my glasses here, they were required to bring in 10%. Now, it wasn't limited to that. That was the base minimum. And, of course, it was agricultural-based to a great degree. If you had 10 acres, 1 acre belonged to the Lord. If you had 10 cows, 1 cow belonged to the Lord. If you had 10 goats, 1 goat belonged to the Lord. But it was fairly simple. But then the offerings that they brought were over and above and on top. So even in the Old Testament, people gave more than the tithe because they brought the tithe in, and then they would bring special offerings to the Lord for different purposes. And they did it as an act of worship, and they would come with rejoicing and with blessing. And at harvest time, they would come to offer thanks to the Lord for his blessings. For us, it isn't quite that clear cut because we're used to getting that check every week or every 2 weeks or every month and all of that. And so it kind of becomes humdrum. But if you're in agriculture and you've had a good year, you just have extra reason to be extra thankful, don't you? And so they would come and they would offer it to the Lord with great praise and thanksgiving. And that is the attitude that we need to come and give to the Lord in, not, oh, no, it's that time again. Now I got to give 10% to the Lord. And, you know, 10% that I really need for that 52-inch set, TV set, or whatever it is I want, or to get the car fixed, or whatever. But no, it needs to be an act of worship, and it needs to be done. But it's 10%. It's 1 in 10. And of course, but let's just go over these five basic reasons we should tithe and that the tithe is a good thing. Number one, it is simple. How many like simple? How many fill out tax forms every year? How many wish you had a simple tax form unless you do the 1040? Barbara and I pay somebody to do our taxes and have for many years because it's so complicated. How thick is the IRS thing? This thing is simple. It's 1 in 10. It's so simple, even Amos Eby can figure it out. It's 1 in 10. If I have a dime, 1 penny belongs to the Lord. If I have a dollar, a dime belongs to the Lord. If I have $10, $1 belongs to the Lord. If I have $100, $10 belongs to the Lord. If I have $1,000, $100 belongs to the Lord. It is simple. The Lord didn't make it hard. So I can guarantee you one thing. If you're not fully tithing the full 10% to the Lord, it isn't because it's too complicated. Number two, it is fair. Everything's gotten turned on its head in our society today. We have this whole different idea of what fair is. Fair is, it's the same for everybody. It is fair. The pauper gives the Lord 10%. The ditch digger gives the Lord 10%. The lawyer gives the Lord 10%. The CEO of some bank or some manufacturing firm gives 10%. 10% is 10%. And the Lord's work should be financed that way because everybody should participate unless the Lord has not blessed you at all. Tell me the Lord has not blessed you at all. Are you breathing this morning? Don't tell me the Lord hasn't blessed you. Everybody participates. Everybody. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. David Wilkerson went to Haiti Before he went to speak, the Lord said, speak on tithing. So he spoke on tithing. The other American preachers that had gone with him down there later, they were saying, how could you pray, speak on tithing down here where it's one of the poorest countries in all of Latin America? He said, listen, if anybody needs to hear about tithing, it's these people because God blesses it. The man with Scripture Ministries of India. How many remember Bill Tate? The brother, the Irish brother that went over there over 50 years ago, and God's still using him, and they're planting churches all over India every year. Such a fruitful and bountiful ministry. And what you give to them, they print Bibles with it. Then they sell the Bibles. Then what they make off of the Bibles, they plow it back in to financing people to go into the villages and evangelize. And India is a poor country. And sometimes they say, we need more offerings from the states. We shouldn't be required to give as much. And he always comes back at him with this, that we can't give. He says, well, let me ask, how many of you before you got saved drank alcohol? How many of you before you got saved smoked cigarettes? Don't tell me you can't tithe to the Lord. That's what he tells me. It's fair. It's fair because it's the same for everybody. And the Lord has blessed every single one of us in some measure. And therefore, it should be a privilege. If I have a lot less than the other person, it should be just as big a privilege for me to be able to bring to the Lord 10% of what he's given me as it is for the person that he's blessed, maybe in a greater way. Number three, it establishes discipline. And I should have put this, but I didn't take the time to do it. But it is an important part of the overall picture of stewardship. And you might want to write that in your margin. It is an important part of overall stewardship. Stewardship means I've been entrusted with something as an administrator, and I will be accountable for how I administrate it. Did you know that as a believer, nothing you have really belongs to you? Therefore, I will be accountable to the Lord for how I administrate that which he has entrusted to me. And tithing establishes discipline. If you're taking 10% off of the top, and then you're doing your budget, and you're saying, now, the other 90%, how am I going to allocate that? It's going to make you more careful. It's going to make you more intentional. It's going to make you think about it more, and it's going to make you overall a better administrator. Can I hear an amen? Absolutely. We get sloppy. We plop the card down. We don't plan. They used to tell us in the car business, people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. And so we get in all these jams, and not tithing is a big contributor to that. Because when we tithe, yes, it will make us think more carefully about what we do with the other 90%, and that isn't a bad thing. It'll make us more responsible people. Number four. Maybe this one should be number one. It honors God. When I give to the Lord, it honors the Lord. I am doing it unto the Lord. And so it honors God. And that alone, if there wasn't anything else on this list, that alone should be enough reason for me to give a tenth to the Lord. It honors him. Honor the Lord with your substance or wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Number five, it provides for God's work. God could have financed his work a lot of ways, but he chose to base it on the giving of his people. Probably because we need it a lot more than he does. And it's an area to honor him. It's an area to exercise faith. But it is through the giving that God's work is provided for. How are the missionaries supported that we support around the world? How are they supported? How are they supported? Through gifts and offerings of believers like you, and not just us. The Palmers, we give to the Palmers. We give to several of the Palmers. But are we the only church that supports you, Daryl? Are you grateful that there are other churches that also support you? But if the people didn't tithe and give, would the churches be able to support you? You'd be taking time away from what you do, huh? Anyway, it provides for God's work. Whether it's the VBS that's held right here, whether it's for an Awana Grand Prix that just happened yesterday, whether it's for providing some things for these cast folks that come in next month for a week each night, whatever it is, that's how God's work is provided for. And it's the only method, really, that He has established. We have some other things we do. People debate about them. But the way God has established for His work to be supported is through the giving of His people. And number six, it provides a springboard for blessing. I told someone recently that did something. I said, you will be blessed for this. And then I said, by the way, I'm not going to do like Jimmy Swaggart and tell you that because you did this, you're going to get double that amount in the mail next week. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because God does bless. It does provide. My obedience provides a springboard for God's blessing. Let's move on. We've got a lot to cover in a short time. All giving that we do to the Lord, all of it should be at least these four things. Number one, it should be joyful. How many learned that verse, God loves a cheerful giver, when you were a kid? Did you? God loves a cheerful giver. But it's true, and it should be joyful. Number two, it should be willing. If it's hurting you all that much, then don't. The Lord will find somebody that is willing and that wants to do it. Number three, generous. The Lord has been very generous with me. The Lord has blessed me more than I ever deserved. I don't know if there's anybody else here today that can say that, but I imagine so. The Lord has blessed me more than I ever deserved. And if He is generous with me, how can I not be generous back when it is time to give to His work and to His people? And number four, yes, it should be worshipful. It should be an act of worship. We are honoring the Lord as we give unto Him. And it is an act of worship. It's not just a duty or something we do by rote. It is an act of worship. General observations. Let's move on here quickly. Again, I can't give this the time I would love to give it, but there are some verses there for you to follow up with. Observation number one. The practice of tithing predates the Old Testament and was operational before there was any requirement or law. Abraham tithed to the Lord, and so did Jacob. And the two references are there in the book of Genesis. The first book of the Bible had not yet been written. The law had not been given, and Moses wouldn't be born for another 400 years. And yet Abraham, the man who God called out of paganism in order to serve Him and to be the founder of a new race and a new nation, tithed unto the Lord. And when you can read this story in chapter 14 of Genesis, when his nephew Lot was captured and there was a battle between four kings and five kings down there in the Jordan Valley, And Abraham's the one who came in a surprise attack at night with 318 of his hired servants and rescued everybody and got them back. He was met by Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and king of Salem means king of peace. Who do you think Melchizedek represents? He not only represents the Lord Jesus Christ, he represents him in his glorified, risen, high priestly capacity. And Abraham gives him a tenth of everything. Later on, when Jacob has his first encounter with the Lord, the next morning he is so awestruck, he makes a vow. He's not where he needs to be yet, but he says, I tell you what, Lord, if you're with me and you watch over me and provide for me and get me back safe to my homeland, you will be my God, and I will give you a tenth of everything. And so the practice of tithing was already established before there was even a scripture. Number two, the principle of honoring God with our material blessings is universal and unrelated to time. You can bring the law in there, but in reality, this is a timeless principle. And Proverbs, even though it's in the Old Testament, it is not a book of law, it is a book of principle. And so it could as easy be in the New Testament as the Old Testament, because laws come and go, but principles, those types of things, a principle is forever because it is rooted right in the nature of God himself and everything that he has created. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. That is a principle. That is not a law in the sense of the law of Moses. That is a timeless principle. It is not related to time. It is a universal principle. Number three, the concept of proportional giving is set forth in both the Old and New Testaments. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Now I will write about the collection of money for God's people. Do the same thing I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of every week. Each of you should put aside money as you have been blessed." So the idea of giving proportionality is in both the Old and the New Testament. Number four, the concept of increased return on increased investment is time proven and true, of which the law of sowing and reaping is a part of that. Increased investment means increased return. That is a law. That is absolutely true. That has always been the case. If you sow three rows of corn, how many rows of corn will you get? Three. If you sow one row of corn, how many rows of corn will you get? So if you know that the more you sow, the more you'll reap, and you understand this, that'll take away a lot of roadblocks if you want to start getting real stingy with your giving. Because when you give to the Lord, you're sowing. You're investing, actually. Oh, I used to love it in the car business. Instead of monthly payment, your monthly investment. What's that investment going to look like after 10 years and two paint jobs? But with the kingdom of God, it really is an investment. It really is. The concept of increased return on increased investment is time proven and true and applies in both the spiritual and natural realms. See, God made everything. So all of these principles, both in the spiritual and the natural, they come from him, and they're parallel. Morris Cirulo used to say, all truth is parallel, and what he meant was, for every law you see in the physical world, there's a corresponding spiritual law, and vice versa. So increased return for increased investment, that's a principle that applies both in the natural and spiritual realms. You spend a little more time with the Lord, what do you get? You get returns just because you did it. Giving to God is an area where these two realms meet. And it's fascinating to me. Because I'm giving something material. But I'm giving it to the Lord, and I'm giving it as an act of worship. It is then invested in gospel ministry, in outreach, and souls are saved and brought into the kingdom of God, and God is worshiped and honored and glorified. And so this is where the natural and the spiritual intersect and come together. And the principle of increased return applies there as much on increased investment as anywhere you can think. And number five, faithfulness in any area will inevitably attract God's favor and blessing over time. It isn't, you know, direct in the sense of just like sowing and reaping. I sow a seed today. When do I get the return on that? Sometime down the road. And there's quite a few sunrises and sunsets. In between, quite a few rain showers. There might be some weeding and fertilizing and some other things that go on during that interval period. But nonetheless, faithfulness will hang in there. Be faithful. God, it will bring God's blessing overall. Furthermore, even if you don't see, say, as quick as you'd like to see them, like financial returns, which I do believe God blesses. How many have ever been blessed by the Lord in an unexpected way? See? So he can bless us anytime, any way he wants to. So you just give, you just be obedient. You let him worry about when and how, you know. But if I'm giving to him, he said to that one young man, he said, go sell everything, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in where? Sending them up. Okay, faithfulness in any area will inevitably attract God's favor and blessing over time because faithfulness equals obedience. When I'm faithful to God in an area, that's obedience. And obedience will always attract God's favor and blessing. He loves me anyway, but you love your children anyway. But when they're obedient, aren't you a little more kindly disposed sometimes? You're not going to let them go hungry or anything. But when they're willing and obedient, aren't you a little more kindly disposed sometimes? God is a loving Heavenly Father. And he's going to bless us. But now, as at any other time, no matter, you know, you say, well, finances are kind of a mess, and maybe it's time to take a look at them. But let us make every effort to make sure that God is being properly honored in this area. Because it means blessing for us, it means blessing for other people, it means souls saved ultimately, it means treasures in heaven ultimately, and most of all, it is a heart issue, and if we're not doing it, it really does ultimately go back to the heart. Lord, get my heart right, and everything else will fall in line. And that applies here as much as any other area of life. So may the Lord give us a willing heart. May he give us a heart that says, Lord, I don't want to be one of those who say, well, just, you know, counting it out, you know, every little, I want to, Lord, you've been generous. Help me likewise to be generous and leave the results with you. But I will close with this. If every single child of God faithfully tithed and gave as they should, there would never be a shortage in the house of God. Shall we pray? Father, we come today. We are grateful. We are thankful. And you have blessed us. We cannot say otherwise. So help us to put actions with our words And if we are truly grateful to you for your abundant blessing that you have poured out upon us, even beyond anything we could imagine, Lord, just help us to be as generous out that way as you've been to us. And you will continue to provide, you will continue to be glorified, and your work around the world will continue to go on fully funded because of the faithfulness of your people. Thank you for all the faithful givers in our congregation here and in congregations all over our community and our nation, because it through that giving, Lord, that really is an act of worship to you, and it is bringing blessing in many places every single day. But help us in times like these to be even more conscientious about being faithful in an area this important, because the needs are many. And you will use us in order to meet those needs. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.